Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You can tell who got here late because they had to sit in the front. So glad you're here. My name is Jason, and I need a resurrection. And I'm hoping that by the time our brief time, I promise I'm going to be brief, I hope that by the time our time is over, that you too will see that you need a resurrection. And the truth is, I don't need a resurrection just today. I need a resurrection every day of my life. And I hope that I can convince you that you too need a resurrection every day. Celebrating resurrection is why we're here, but celebrating a resurrection is only half of the story. I don't want you to miss the other half. Because celebrating a resurrection without receiving a resurrection is like going to a birthday party, eating cake, and not opening the presents. You got to open the presents, y'all. So we're going to celebrate, and we have. But my prayer is that you would do the other part of resurrection, and that is not just celebrate, but receive. So I just want to make sure we're all on the same page when it comes to celebrating a resurrection. We celebrate for one reason. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday because the foundation, the cornerstone, the bedrock of Christianity is not a manger. It's an empty grave, right? It's not what happened at Christmas. It's what happened during Passover week when an innocent man from heaven gave his life for you. But they couldn't keep him dead. He rose to life, and there's an empty grave, and an empty grave changes everything. It changes everything. If the grave wasn't empty, my life would be. If the grave wasn't empty, my hope would be. If the grave wasn't empty, my heart would be. But because the grave was empty, I now can live a full life, and so can you. You can live a life that's fulfilling and satisfying and purpose-filled because there is an empty grave. One day, Jesus was speaking to a group of people who were broken and tired and worn out, sad, angry, depressed. And he made an invitation to them. And the invitation was not, come to me, all of you who are crushing it and killing it and living your best life. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus never made an invitation to people who were killing it, crushing it, and living their best lives. You know what Jesus said? Come to me, all of you who are tired and worn out and burnt out by religion. That's the invitation of resurrection. So today, I don't know what state you are in, but if you are tired, if you are weary, if you are worn out, if you are broken, if you are grieving, if you are struggling, if you are hurting, if you are done with religion, you are in a good place. And there's some people that know exactly how you feel. And it was this group of people who were following Jesus for 3 years. Those first followers of Jesus, they knew exactly how you feel today if you're tired, weary, broken, depressed, anxious, broke. They know how you feel. And what's crazy is those first followers of Jesus spent a week watching Jesus teach and minister and heal, and then they watched their friend die. Their friend, their rabbi, their teacher, the person that they thought was the Savior and that they believed was the Son of God, hung on a cross, was killed and got sealed in a tomb. And in the mind of those first followers of Jesus, sons of God don't die. Saviors don't die, but ours did. And those days between Friday and Sunday, those hours were broken hours and weary hours and hard, hard hours. And those followers of Jesus, that first Sunday, this should give you some hope, because those followers of Jesus, that first Sunday after the death of Jesus, nobody was at the tomb on Sunday morning with a stopwatch going, everybody get ready, here we go. 3, 2. The truth is, nobody was there. None of those early followers of Jesus were there on that Sunday morning. Now, in just a minute, we are going to read 12 verses that I think just perfectly capture the moment and the heartache and the heartbreak and the doubting that those original followers of Jesus had in their hearts. And I'm going to ask you in just a second, not yet, but in just a second, I'm going to ask you if you would to show your respect and honor for the Word of God. We're going to stand and I'm going to read it, and somebody next to you is probably going to read it out loud with me. Don't let that throw you. Don't let it be awkward for you. If they're reading it out loud, just join right in. If that's not cool for you, don't. But I want you to, let's do it now. Let's stand just to honor the Word of God. Show it the respect that it is due in our lives. We're going to read 12 verses from Luke, Dr. Luke, chapter 24. Here we go. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen from the dead." Can we read those last two statements again? Because that's really important. We don't want to miss that. Those last two statements with the exclamation point, if you're reading out loud with me, like read it. Like exclamation, like all caps. You with me? He is not here. He is risen from the dead. Man, y'all sound amazing. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back to the tomb to tell the 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Let's pray together and we'll try to unravel this. Lord God, thank you for Dr. Luke recording these 12 verses so that we could learn, so that we could grow, most importantly, so we could know that you live and we can have life. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. All right, y'all have a seat right on. Make no mistake, that first Sunday after the resurrection of Jesus, nobody expected a resurrection. Nobody expected a stone rolled away from a tomb. Nobody expected an empty tomb. Nobody expected nobody. Don't encourage that. Don't pander to my emotions. How dare you? But nobody who went there was expecting to find nobody in the tomb. They literally went to the tomb to prepare a dead body. Luke tells us that these women were going to the tomb with a bunch of spices. There's other gospels that give other details, like pounds, like wheelbarrows full of spices, to prepare the dead body of their Savior. Do you know why a bunch of women went on Sunday to prepare a dead body that had already been prepared on Friday? Do you want to know why? Because a couple of guys did it on Friday. You look it up. A couple of guys named Nick and Joe took Jesus, his dead body, off of a cross. They kind of hastily prepared it for burial because it was Sabbath, and they put him in the tomb, and the tomb was sealed. And the women on Sunday after the Sabbath is over said, "We got to do this right. Because if you want a job done right, you finish the statement. I'm not going to." So these women show up at this tomb. They had gone there expecting to see a dead body, but there was not one. And then they were so shocked that these women went and told the disciples, hey, there's no body. And the disciples, the scripture tells us, it's nonsense what you're saying. This is nonsense. This is crazy talk. This is the grief speaking. This is pain in you. This is sorrow in you talking. There's no way there's no body. And then Luke tells us, not only did they think it was nonsense, they just straight up did not believe. We do not believe what you're saying. They didn't believe it. They didn't believe the grave was empty. They didn't believe Jesus was alive again. Two of the guys, Peter and John, decide, well, we'll go check it out for ourselves. But nine of the original 12 just decided, it's nonsense. It's over. The Jesus movement died when Jesus died. We got to figure out how to get out of Jerusalem before they kill us too. It's over. But in the days that followed, something crazy, unexpected, and baffling happened. Those same non-believing, nonsense-thinking, doubting people, they did not walk away from the Jesus movement. In fact, they did the opposite. They gave their lives for it. And secular historians are still confused. Why would these early followers of Jesus keep the ministry of Jesus going even though Jesus was dead? It makes no sense. But these 11 men, and they added another one, the death of Jesus didn't stop them. The burial of Jesus did not stop them. They just kept ministering in the name of Jesus. And those non-believing, grief-stricken, overwhelmed, outnumbered, hurting, struggling people, they kept teaching, they kept preaching, they risked their lives every day to tell people how much they were loved by Jesus. They went as far as transportation could take them to tell everyone they could about this Savior who died but did not stay dead. And all but one of them eventually had to give their lives for what they were saying and what they did and for telling the world about Jesus. The one that didn't die, a martyr, got boiled in oil, and that didn't kill him, so they sent him to a criminal's island to live out his days in exile. What? My question is, these men who on Friday and Saturday were confused and distraught and defeated, they literally went on to change the world. And in a very real way, the reason you're sitting here today is because those 11 men changed the world. Because something happened to them and in them. They did not just celebrate a resurrection, they received a resurrection. And it turned non-believing doubters into world changers. Do you understand that the world literally turned on a dime in 33 AD? The world literally turned on a dime, and empires began to crumble and turn, and the whole world changed because of these 11 men who refused to let the ministry of Jesus die. Now, who follows a dead man? Nobody. These men, what turned them into preachers and teachers and world changers, I think the answer to my question is the answer that they had to a better question. They had an answer for what I would call an essential question. There is an essential question that they had an answer for, and it's a question that you need an answer for today. In fact, I would go as far as to say it might be the most important question anyone ever asks you. It might be the most important question in history, and it might be the most important question for you personally to answer today. And it's the same question that some dazzling man asked the women at the tomb. Why do you look for the living among the dead? You cannot gloss over that question. 10 words. One question, life-changing implications. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Hear me very carefully. If you don't hear anything else I say today, please get this. You will never find life in something that's dead. You will never find life in something that's dead. So Dusty, bring your guys back up if you don't mind. Let's have our worship leaders come back up because I'm almost done. My question for you, to piggyback what the dazzling man asked the women, my question for you is, where are you looking for life today? Where will you be looking for life tomorrow? Where will you be looking for life next weekend? Where are you looking for life? I don't know about you, but in my observation and in my experience, we look for life in some dumb places. Anybody agree? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one in the room. Okay, y'all. But we have a tendency to look for life, look for fulfillment, look for that sense of I belong, that sense of purpose. We look for life in some dumb places. Some of us are looking to our bank account, hoping to find life, but it's empty. Some of us are looking to our tiny glowing rectangles, hoping there's life there, but they're empty. Some of us, we're looking to some political leader, hoping there's life there, but it's empty. We are looking to a bottle or a pipe or a needle, hoping there's life there, but it's empty. We're looking to some physical relationship, hoping that there's life there, but it's empty. We're looking in the refrigerator, hoping there's life there, but it's empty. We look to so many things and so many people hoping that there's life there. But just like those women, they were in the wrong place, y'all. They were looking in the wrong place. You don't look for life among things that are dead. And my challenge to you, my prayer for you for weeks has just been, look for life where life is. I am 100% convinced that the reason so many of us are stressed, overwhelmed, outnumbered, depressed, sad, grieving, just overcome by the world. The reason so many of us are frustrated and angry and unfulfilled and struggling and hurting and broken, the reason is we keep looking for life among things that are dead and we can't find life there. You will only find life. You can only find life in Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus' words, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I would say it like this. Truth is, there's no way to find life without Jesus. You can't do it. You got to stop looking in dead places for life because it's only found in Jesus. One more verse, all right? Here we go. At this one point in the ministry of Jesus, it's Jesus in the flesh. And this one point in his ministry, he's got hundreds of people following him, maybe thousands, and they're showing up for the freebies and the food. And then one day, Jesus kind of cuts off the food and the freebies. And the scripture tells us that hundreds of people walk away from Jesus. And it breaks the heart of Jesus. And in John chapter 6, as people are walking away from Jesus, at this point, many of his disciples, his closest followers, turned away and deserted him. Then Jesus turned to the 12 and asked, "Are you also going to leave?" I want you to hear what Simon Peter said, because I hope it resounds in your soul. As we walk out of this building, I hope it resounds in your soul that there is no way to find life outside of Jesus. Simon Peter says, "Lord, where would we go? To whom can we go? We can't go back to our old lives. We can't go back to all the things we've been trying. You, Jesus, have the words that give eternal life. I need that. You need that. And you don't just need it today. You need it every day. The way you get life is you do what those people who stood in that water did. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe that God sent him to die for your sins, that he rose from the dead, and then you commit to follow him. Do life his way. That's how you do life. That's how you get fulfillment in your soul. That's how you get a purpose to live for. That's how you get over getting tired. That's how you get over getting burnt out. That's how you get over all the things that we all came in here with. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are tired and weary and burnt out on religion. Then Jesus says, for my burden is light. Your burden can be lifted today, but only by a Savior who overcame death. He is the way to life. Let's pray together. Would you bow your heads for just a second? If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today is a great day, and I'm not going to do anything to manipulate you or force you to do anything. I just want to make the invitation that Jesus made the entire time he was here, and the invitation that Jesus made was follow me. Just follow me. Not for a day, not for a week, but for the rest of your life, follow me. This is the invitation to you to receive the resurrection you need for life. Jesus, thank you that you are life. Thank you for revealing to us that outside of you, it's all empty. It's all dead. Thank you that you overcame death so we could have life. God, my prayer is that everyone sitting here would do an honest evaluation of their life. And that everyone here would walk out knowing they know you, knowing they're following you, knowing that they have life. Pray in Jesus' name.